Good morning. Welcome. 28 degrees. It's the WIB Wake Up Show to try it again Thursday. We will try it again with our secret sound this morning after 7:15. And I don't know, maybe you early bird listeners somehow missed out on the sound, so we don't want that. So you want a sample of it? All right. You persuaded me. Here is the secret sound. Yeah, it's pretty quick. It's pretty fast. That is the secret sound. What is that? So anyhow, don't call now, but 90 minutes from now, we'll take calls. People have had a chance to ponder it, think on it. And so the secret sound for a free digital download of the best Christmas pageant ever. So, all right. In the meantime, the government shutdown is over. There has been a vote in the House to move ahead on releasing the Epstein files. Some are calling it a hoax. It's not a hoax. There is a four-part documentary on Netflix that talks some about the background of this. One of the Epstein victims writing about this. She has, it's a posthumous release, but yeah, so prayerful times. I think we would agree human trafficking is an evil, and hopefully we can stand against that as well and prosecute perpetrators of it. In the meantime, also, it is November 13th, day number 317 on the year. And we go back in our WIB time machine to 1998 when President Clinton agreed to pay Paula Jones $850,000 to drop her sexual harassment lawsuit and end the four-year legal battle that triggered the impeachment proceedings against the then president.
You'll have to find the answer to that riddle somewhere else.
Yeah, okay. Also, in the time machine today, we go back to 2003 in Alabama, Judicial Ethics Panel threw the state's Chief Justice Roy Moore off the bench for placing himself above the law. Moore had defied a federal court order to remove his granite Ten Commandments monument from the state courthouse.
I must acknowledge God. It says so in the Constitution of Alabama. Yes. It says so in the First Amendment to the United States, yes, Constitution. It says so in everything I've read.
And finally, 1997 in New York. The Lion King, the musical adaptation of the hit Disney film, opened on Broadway. Yeah, 28 years ago today. Our morning devotion closes off. First thoughts, and it is from Larry Crabb's God's Love Letters to You. Would you believe we're up to day 30 already? Wow, we've been doing this for a while. It's Ephesians, celebrate my spirit within you. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 from the New King James says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory. Again, this comes from Larry's longer book that took him 5 years to write, 66 love letters, and an imaginary conversation with God through all 66 books of the Bible. What might God unpack for us from Ephesians? Larry imagines it might be something like this. My enemy will stand against you at every turn. You are no match for him, but my spirit is in you, and the enemy is no match for him. Wear the belt of truth. What my spirit tells you will help you oppose your opposer. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, resolve to fight every trace of self-centeredness within you. Identify the peace the gospel provides. Think of that peace as a pair of shoes you can wear to keep running the race in the face of all opposition. Hold on to the shield of faith. Know that I am who I am, that my plan is on course, that you are my child, and that one day you will be fully formed like my son. Keep the helmet of salvation on your head. No matter what happens, no matter how you fail, all shall be well. Never stop reading my letters. My word is my spirit's sword. Use it to fight evil, first in you, then around you. Learn to pray. Pray in my spirit on all occasions. Celebrate the joy you can know when you live to complete my son, to reveal him to the world, and to delight him with your response to his love. And our closing prayer, Father, is there really a power within us that is doing more than you, than we can think or imagine? We want to believe it and trust you. Help us to fight the battles that matter to you and let go of the ones that are not eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. A great closing prayer there as we cover Ephesians in day 30 of our 40-day devotional experience with God's love letters to you. Ephesians, celebrate my spirit within you. Pulling a tissue out of the box, how did you know?
My friend actually got it, and I called for her. Huh.
Well, there you go. Well, your friend is a smart cookie. And, yeah, make sure that you watch this best Christmas pageant ever movie that we're going to send you with your friend, because I think they deserve it. And I think the worst, the final sentence of this story is, yeah, is maybe the worst thing out of all of this.
The investigation found that Meta rejected or ignored 96% of users' complaints about scammers. So you complained that an ad is scam and they're just like, yeah, whatever.
And why would they say, yeah, whatever? They're making $16 billion. So when you're looking for a little treat, maybe you're at the checkout and saying, you know what, I want a little something sweet to eat. How do you decide? And you think sometimes maybe it's preferences built up over time, but also, evidently, it has a lot to do with the way it looks.
Yes, in fact, chocolate bars come in all shapes and sizes, but what makes one popular and another a delicious dud?
Now, this study came out of Penn State's College of Agricultural Sciences, on the wonderfully diverse world of chocolate. It found that people pay more attention to the packaging than the actual taste of what they bought when they're buying a candy bar at the checkout.
Now, I don't know. As I do a quick check of myself, you talk a lot about Reese's. I like Reese's, but I mean,
indeed.
I really like Mounds and Almond Joy. I mean, it's just kind of a nice treat. I like the chocolate and coconut deal. And so when I put this to the test in my mind, I'm like, no, I like that because I like the taste.
But I wonder, could it go back in the recesses of Mark's history? Did you first like Mounds and Almond Joy because of the way they were packaged?
No.
The bright red and the blue? No?
I'm going to say no.
But anyway, they're saying for smaller companies, not the huge big ones, a gold wrapper, an interesting backstory is the key to big time profits. Huh. Really? I don't know that I've ever taken the time to read the backstory of a chocolate bar.
Yeah. I was doing a little research here, and there are a lot of them out there. You and I were both conferring because sometimes somebody might be legalistic and say, well, Reese's isn't really a candy bar. And so then what would you go with?
I think I probably would have to go with Snickers.
Uh-huh. It is very good.
If Reese's were not available and I were choosing candy bar, I probably would have to go to Snickers. There are a lot of great options. Butterfinger, though,
yeah.
Man, now that I could go on for a long time because Butterfinger would be right up there. And I do remember our friend Jim, one time I mentioned my affection for Butterfinger, and Jim brought me like a whole case, like a great big box of Butterfingers that I shared.
Yeah.
With the staff here, too. But I always remember that, too. If you're listening this morning, Jim, I still remember that act of kindness to this day. I was like, that is so cool. Yeah. It was one of those things welcoming into the WIB family, because that was early on in my tenure here. And I was a lot more annoying than I am now.
And that is not in any way kind of inciting him to do it again.
No, it is not. But I did appreciate that very much. And it reminds me of how much I do enjoy a Butterfinger.
There we go. The thing is, it gets stuck in your teeth, you know? That's the downside.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Talk about packaging. I would say Butterfinger packaging versus Snickers packaging.
Yeah.
Butterfinger has it beat, in my mind at least. Love that iconic Butterfinger look.
Well, it just happens to be Guinness World Record Days.
And we have a couple to tell you about. The first one is the world record for time spent driving in a roundabout. Now, I was asking Havel off the air about this to see if he's ever done it, because I know I have, where maybe you're not paying a lot of attention to where you're supposed to get off in the roundabout if you're in an unfamiliar spot. Mm-hmm. And so you just kind of loop around again until you get to that right exit point. And you have done that occasionally. I've done that more than I care to admit.
You know something else? There's some roundabouts like Bethesda over off of Hamilton. And so Michael and I, we got dropped off there after the Badger game. So it was late Saturday night. And so I'm with him. He's driving. And as we came up on a roundabout, I just wanted to make sure he knew. But he goes to church at Bethesda, so of course he knew. But it was just like, you got to be ready to hit that roundabout. You can't go straight through it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, so driving in a circle may sound monotonous, but for some enthusiasts, it became a world record feat. They spent hours driving in a roundabout.
Yeah. In fact, in October, just last month, Jay Robert and Jake Dwinell claimed the latest record by circling a roundabout. Get this now. Imagine doing this for over 5 hours. In fact, 5 hours and 3 minutes.
They completed more than 1,200 laps. What was cool is they were raising money for Alzheimer's research. I'm curious what other motorists thought, because I assume that it wasn't like a blocked off roundabout unless they got help from the local PD. But I just wonder if anyone else is like, why are these guys just going around and around? How lost are they?
Were they the only ones doing this, or were there roundabouts everywhere? People were encouraged to just go around and round.
That would be fun. Coordinated, synced up roundabouting.
Wow. Well, congratulations to them, and certainly a great cause there. Meanwhile, another record in the Guinness World Record Day. There's a new world record for bagpipers after hundreds gathered in Australia yesterday.
The Australian Book of Records confirmed the world record for biggest bagpipe ensemble was broken in Melbourne after 374 pipers outnumbered a previous record set in Bulgaria in 2012. The ensemble played AC/DC's It's a Long Way to the Top, If You Want to Rock and Roll, to a crowd of thousands. Bands across the country had been practicing for weeks in the lead-up to the event, and some participants even expressed hope that the world record would help revive interest in the art form.
Mayfield with that report. So
that sounded super cool.